Every clock in the world shouldn't say precisely the same time. Lady Lejeune glanced at Igor, who bustled with renewed haste. The servant is satisfactory? Oh, he grumbles a bit, but he has got a good heart, and a spare, apparently. He is amazingly skilled in all crafts, too. Yes, Igors generally are, said the lady distantly. They seem to have mastered the art of inheriting talents. She snapped her fingers, and one of the trolls stepped forward and produced a couple of bags. Gold and Invar, she said, as promised. But Invar will be worthless when we finish the clock, said Jeremy. We're sorry? You want more gold? No, you've been very generous. Right, thought Igor, dusting the workbench vigorously. Until next time, then, said Lady Lejeune. The trolls were already turning towards the door. You'll be here for the start, said Jeremy, as Igor hurried into the hall to open the front door, because, whatever he thought about her ladyship, there was such a thing as tradition. Possibly. But we have every confidence in you, Jeremy. Igor stiffened. He hadn't heard that tone in Jeremy's voice. In the voice of a master, it was a bad tone. Jeremy took a deep, nervous breath, as if contemplating some minute and difficult piece of clockwork that would, without tremendous care, unwind catastrophically and spray cogwheels across the floor. I was wondering, your ladyship, perhaps, you would like to take dinner with me, tonight? Jeremy smiled. Igor had seen a better smile on a corpse. Lady Lejeune's expression flickered. It really did. It seemed to Igor to go from one expression to another, as if they were a series of still pictures, with no perceptible movement of the features between each one. It went from her usual blankness to sudden thoughtfulness, and then all the way to amazement. And then, to Igor's own astonishment, it began to blush.
"Why, Mr. Jeremy, I don't know what to say,"
her ladyship stammered, her icy composure turning to a warm puddle.
I don't know. Perhaps some other time. I do have an important engagement. So glad to have met you. I must be going. Goodbye.
Igor stood stiffly to attention, as upright as the average Igor could manage, and almost shut the door behind her ladyship as she hurried out of the building down the steps. She ended up, just for a moment, half an inch above the street. It was only for a moment, and then she drifted downwards. No one except Igor, glaring balefully through the crack between door and frame, could possibly have noticed. He darted back into the workshop. Jeremy still stood transfixed, blushing as pinkly as her ladyship had done.
"I'll just be nipping out to get that new glass work for the multiplier, sir," Igor said quickly. "It should be done by now, yes?"
Jeremy spun on his heel and marched very quickly over to the workbench.
You do that, Igor, thank you," he said, his voice slightly muffled.
Lady Lejeune's party were down the street when Igor slipped out and moved quickly into the shadows. At the crossroad, her ladyship waved one hand vaguely, and the trolls headed off by themselves. Igor stayed with her. For all the trademark limp, Igors could move fast when they had to. They often had to when the mob hit the windmill. Igors were loyal, but they were not stupid. A job was a job. When an employer had no further use for your services, for example, because he'd just been staked through the heart by a crowd of angry villagers, it was time to move on before they decided that you ought to be on the next stake. And Igor soon learned a secret way out of any castle and where to stash an overnight bag. In the words of one of the founding Igors,
"Are we belong dead? Excuse me, where does it say we?"
Out in the open, he could see more wrong things. She didn't move quite right. It was as though she was controlling her body rather than letting it control itself. That's what humans did. Even zombies got the hang of things after a while. The effect was subtle, but Igor's had very good eyesight. She moved like someone unused to wearing skin. The quarry headed down a narrow street, and Igor half hoped that some of the Thieves' Guild were around. He'd very much like to see what happened if one of them gave her the tap on the noggin that was their prelude to negotiations. One had tried it with Igor yesterday, and if the man had been surprised at the metallic clang, he'd have been astonished to have his arm grabbed and broken with anatomical exactitude. In fact,